doesn't have his earphones on.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Hope you had a fantastic weekend for this Monday, the 4th of June, 2012, as we start our second year here on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. You can hear our program on any one of three venues, 24/7, anywhere, anytime. buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com. Dylan Smith and his crew carry our program over there, and Mark Evans at TucsonCitizen.com, also carrying the Buckmaster Show, which is usually posted by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But we are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We'll kick things off with our Monday political face-off featuring today commentators John Munger and Jeff Rogers. At 30 minutes past the hour, businessman Rick Grinnell will join us. He is launching a new organization called the Southern Arizona Business Coalition. Then we'll close out the hour with a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Our Monday political face-off is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Joining me now, Jeff Rogers, chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, and John Munger, Tucson attorney, former Republican candidate for governor in 2010. John and Jeff, good to see both of you.
Good to see you. And Jeff, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks, John. Nice to be here.
Well, we've got lots of action going on the early voting on CD8. Jeff, what are the latest numbers showing?
Well, the latest numbers from this morning, which should reflect everything mailed in over the weekend, has Republicans have about a 4,800 vote edge of in ballots returned, with about 49,600 versus 44,800 to the Democrats. But I think what's one of the more interesting numbers here is the turnout of the ballots that have been sent out. Both the Democrats and Republicans have just over 59% of the ballots sent out returned, and the independents at 49%. And the numbers that really strike me are the independents. That's a very high rate of return for independent ballots at this stage of the game, as well as Democrats. We hope to stay within 4 to 5 percentage points in our turnout as the Republicans, but we're right there tied with them, which really shows in percentage turnout a great deal of enthusiasm of the Democrats and a lot better turnout than we've seen in years past.
John, what do you think of the campaign that Jesse Kelly has run?
Well, I think he's running a good campaign. I think that people have a real choice in this election, and I think that the two candidates have laid out those choices pretty well. So I want to comment on Jeff's numbers, because I agree with him. Those numbers are very significant, especially for the independent vote. Having 49% of the independents having already cast their ballots is very significant. I don't know what it means. I don't think Jeff probably knows what it means. We could both speculate. But I think it's going to be a very, very close race.
You want to speculate, Jeff?
Well, I think we're very comfortable with the way things look, because we think we'll get a lot of crossover votes from Republicans who are dissatisfied with the extreme agenda of Jesse Kelly. As John said, there is a stark difference between these candidates, and we think that we're even going to get a lot of McSally voters who are really hoping to dispose of Jesse Kelly and then have her run against Barber in the fall. And she's quite a formidable candidate, I might add. If I were a Republican, that's probably what I'd be doing.
And it was announced over the weekend that Gabrielle Giffords will be appearing at a kind of Get Out the Vote event, a Tucson concert, Jeff Rogers, on Saturday night. The Get Out the Vote it's going to be a small percentage, but I guess every vote in a very close race like this is important.
I think John's right. It could be a very close race, and that those last few votes will matter quite a lot. Unlike the Republican primary, where Jesse had it pretty much sewn up. We didn't know he had it sewn up, but he did have it sewn up pretty well with the early voting and the vote by mail. This could be very close, and if it is very close, those few thousand votes of people who vote on Election Day are really going to matter.
And don't count out the out counties. That could be where the election is won or lost, places like Cochise County and other places. So this is not just about Pima County. Very hard to predict. I do predict that Jesse will win it.
How many percentage points?
Well, the polls that I've seen show that he's about 4 points up. I don't know whether Jeff's seen anything different, but he has been consistently ahead. But you know, things are dynamic and they can change. So we'll just have to see. It's good from Jesse's point of view that the ballots have been coming in very nicely. Because at the point the polls were taken, he was ahead, which would indicate that ballots that are already voted are 4 points more likely to be voted for him. But boy, anything could happen in this race.
You know, I have said, gentlemen, that if Jesse Kelly wins, Jesse, the first person he should thank is the Green Party candidate, Charlie Manilakis, because I think that the Green Party votes will be taken away from the Democrats.
Oh, absolutely. That's why you see us. The very first thing we do when the petitions are filed is we go right after that Green candidate and see whether or not they've got enough valid signatures to stay on the ballot. And then if we've got any chance, we try to take them off the ballot, because in a close race, it can mean the difference. I can name at least two different legislative races in Pima County where we lost because a Green Party person was on the ballot.
And it's the same thing with the Libertarians on the Republican side, except we do not try to knock them off the ballot. We just accept that they're there. But either candidate, either party can have a third party that affects it. In the case of the Democrats, it's the Green Party. And in the case of the Republicans, it's the Libertarian Party. But there is no Libertarian candidate here. So this race will be affected more by the Green Party candidate.
Jeff, I think Jeff said he labeled Jesse Kelly a few moments ago an extremist. Did I get your
word? Well, he has a very extreme agenda. He's ran away from it very very fast and hard. I mean, he's backing up so fast. I didn't know people could run backwards that fast. He has done everything he can to disown the Jesse Kelly of 2010 and his sort of Tea Party extremist rhetoric. Yeah. And that's what I would have advised him to do. As a political strategist, I'd say play four corners, run and hide. And the biggest mistake he probably made was he actually doing the debate so that he could be exposed a little bit. But as you can see from our advertisements, we're using his own words against him.
He said, you put some new ads up over the weekend.
Here's the problem. You know, the Democratic campaign strategy, not only locally but nationally, is to call everybody who disagrees with them a radical and an extremist. That's what they do.
Well, I think someone who wants to phase out Social Security is an extremist.
He's not talking about phasing out.
He has talked he even admitted it during the debate the other night. He said that he would like to offer choices to get out of the Social Security system for younger people. Yeah, well, that would disable the entire system.
Well, no, it wouldn't, because what he's talking about is a system that would keep the present system going and evolve Social Security into something other than the Ponzi scheme that it is today.
That was one of his actual words, actually. Well, it's a Ponzi scheme. There are
ways to do this where you don't have to be extreme, where you can maintain the current system and evolve into a system that is actually actuarially sound, which our current system is not. What he's trying to do is save Social Security. What's happening now is Social Security is going to go bankrupt. The problem is politics should not be about if you disagree with me, you're a radical and an extremist. There are clearly two policy points of view in this country. Mitt Romney represents one point of view, and Barack Obama represents another point of view. You know, we both think the other side is extremist and radical, but I don't think it's extremist and radical to try and save the Social Security system by making it work for the people that are already in it and then evolving it so it works better for the younger people.
There's easy ways to evolve it. You just raise or eliminate the cap on the earnings that are subject to Social Security, and that's end of story. That fixes the program for a lifetime of our children and grandchildren and their grandchildren.
That is one way to solve the problem, Jeff, but there are other ways. Right now, Social Security gets – the money that you invest, Bill, gets about a 1% return with the government investment that they have. The economy generally over a period of time returns something in the range of 9%, 7% to 9%. And if you allowed people to be able to invest a small portion of their Social Security donation or contribution where they could get a larger return on investment, still have the balance of it in the government fund, and allow people to inherit and pass on the contributions they make. Right now, if you die, your heirs get nothing. Hmm. And
your spouse gets your Social Security if it's greater than your spouse's Social Security eligibility.
But in the end, the heirs get nothing.
Well, Social Security is not an investment program. This is an intergenerational contract that our grandchildren and children take care of us in our old age, and that we do the same for our grandparents.
That's the
kind of program it's always been. And it's not meant to be a program that completely funds your retirement. It's a basic level that we don't allow people
The problem is, Jeff, there are different points of view on how Social Security is best handled, and yours is not the only point of view, and you're not a radical and extremist if you don't agree with Jeff Rogers.
Well, eliminating the program is pretty radical.
He's not talking about that.
We are going to take a break
about
right
saving
here.
It.
This is the Monday Political Face-Off. Jeff Rogers and John Munger will be back after we take this break. Stay with us.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
We're back with the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985. Stop by and say hello to Moe. He can take care of all of your mirror needs. He has beautiful art, picture framing, hanging services, hanging systems. He can hang whatever you need. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John Munger is with me, and Jeff Rogers. This is the Monday Political Face-Off. Let's go to Paul now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead. You're with John and Jeff, Paul.
Thank you. Since Mr. Grijalva and Dupnik have done their best to destroy the image of Southern Arizona people, I hate to see my Democrat candidate doing nothing but giving hateful comments on this radio program. All he does is belittle the Republican. Why didn't he tell us and ask him a question about what the Democrat candidate is going to do if he does get elected and help us out?
Okay. Jeff Rogers.
Well, I have every bit of confidence that Ron Barber will make a fine congressman. He's exhibited. I've known him for many years. I know a lot about his history as a small businessman and about his history with the Department of Economic Security in the area of developmental disabilities. He's been quite a public servant for his entire life and career, and I think that he will. Will make a fine congressman. I'm just not the least bit troubled by having him there. I think he's a very comforting person to have, who understands the issues better than most anyone I've seen here in Southern Arizona, and understands the real facts that underlie those issues.
Well, here's the problem, Jeff, and respectfully, you haven't answered the question. He would have voted for Obamacare. He would have voted for cap and trade.
He's never said he would support cap and trade. That issue has been dead for three years.
Let me finish.
And there's nothing to show that he would support cap and trade.
Well,
that's ridiculous.
Look, Gabby was for it. He would be for it. There's no reason to believe that he's going to vote any differently than Gabby voted. He's going to vote with the Democratic caucus, big spenders, and that's the fact of the matter. You know, there is. The key element here that people need to understand is that when you go back and vote in Congress, 99% of the time, you're going to vote with your majority leader. In the case of the Democrats, that's Nancy Pelosi.
Well, in the case of the Republicans, who is
Yeah, well, John Boehner. John Boehner.
I can't say I agree with anything that John Boehner does. So therefore,
I will
if you're
going
to vote with the Democrats,
if you want to
talk about, more comfortable about
if you want to talk about radical, you talk about Nancy Pelosi saying, we'll learn what's in the Obamacare bill once we pass it. Now, that's radical. And that's the kind of leadership that's going to happen. So what will happen if we send Ron Barber back there? He's going to be voting with Nancy Pelosi. I don't care what he says. He's going to have no choice, because that's the way Congress works. And
I expect he'll be the same kind of centrist that Gabby Giffords
Gabby
was.
Giffords was not a centrist.
She was quite a centrist.
She's a wonderful, nice lady, but she voted with Nancy Pelosi 96% of the time, Jeff. And you know it, and I know it. That's not being a centrist.
John is contending, Jeff, here, that Ron would not be his own man in this.
Well, I think he's shown us that he is his own man. I mean, throughout both of these debates, I listened to him, and I think the voters are going to come away from it thinking this is not somebody who's a clone of the congresswoman that he worked for. He may share some of her beliefs and some of her views on some of the issues, but not on all of the issues. He's his own man, and he's shown us that.
Well, I will tell you, he hasn't shown me anything. You can't get from him what he will do and not do. You can't He won't tell you what he would have done on Obamacare.
He has been very specific in many areas. Contrast that to Jesse Kelly, who won't even be interviewed by the press, who won't sit for interviews either here at this station, won't sit for interviews
right now we're
with
talking
the Arizona
about...
Daily Star, won't answer the questions. I mean, there was that fiasco at Channel 9 where he refused to answer questions about a hate group that had supported him and endorsed him both in 2010 and in 2012 called ALIPAC.
This is
a guy who's running away from the press because he knows that he can't withstand the scrutiny of the press.
And just to set the record straight, he did come on this program.
Yes, Jesse Kelly did come on, and he's been on a number of programs, Jeff, and he's on the radio all the time. But, you know, this is classic Democrat politics. We don't want to talk about Barack Obama, so we're going to tell you how bad Mitt Romney is. We need to talk about what's Barack Obama's policy. We need to talk about what is in this campaign. We need to talk about why hasn't the Democratic U.S. Senate come up even with a budget for the past 3 years?
Because of partisan gridlock, everything has to be passed by 60 votes, and that means the Republicans can stop anything.
Well,
we have never seen a United States Senate gridlocked like this.
Well, I will tell you.
The history of the Senate is shows no similar period in our over 200-year history when Republicans or Democrats or any other party caused such gridlock.
Obstruction.
It's complete obstruction.
Well, I will tell you, this is not the first time in history. It is where we've had not 60 votes for one party or another. It's very rare to have 60 votes, Jeff, but there has been no time in history where the U.S. Senate has not passed, as they are required to do under the Constitution,
pass anything because they can't get 60 votes. I mean, it's complete gridlock and obstruction.
The answer, Jeff,
by the
is they can't pass it the way Harry Reid wants it. They won't do it without compromise, and Harry Reid won't even put the bill. He won't even put a bill on the table.
Compromise is not a word that the Republicans understand or are willing to engage in. That
Jeff,
national level, there has been no compromise whatsoever.
John, he's saying it's total obstruction.
The Republicans 2 weeks ago put four bills, spending bills, budget bills, in the U.S. Senate. And the Democrats voted down every single one of them. The House of Representatives has 24 economy-building bills that they sent over from the House of Representatives that Harry Reid will not vote on. He has simply put them in a drawer.
Offering of the president's budget and the president's new jobs plan has been prevented from being going to a regular vote because of the filibustering of the Republicans in the United States.
That is incorrect.
If you can't get 60 votes, which means you've got to get some Republicans, and no Republicans are willing to compromise
anymore. That's incorrect, Jeff.
They're all herded by their leaders, and they walk in lockstep.
The president has sent down, in the last 2 years, two budgets. Last year, his budget went down. It was voted on in the U.S. Senate. It went down 99-1. Every Democrat except one voted against the president's budget. That's the kind of lack of leadership the president has. This year, his budget went down 400 in the House, 435 to nothing. It went down in the House. Not one Democrat voted for the president's budget in the House. That's not obstructionism. That is a president with no budget plan. That nobody will accept.
I beg to differ on that. We have a jobs plan that's currently been put forth by the president that would help us continue our recovery. But just like they did when he put up the stimulus plan, they gave him less than half of what he wanted in the stimulus plan. And so what we're seeing here is Republicans rooting for the economy to fail and unwilling to engage in any kind of compromise with the president and the Democrats
so
to keep this economy alive. They can say the economy's a failure.
We have put bills in the U.S. Senate that have passed 24. There are 24 bills from the House of Representatives in the U.S. Senate that the U.S. Senate won't even hear.
They won't hear them. You know what? The kind of bills that are coming out of the House of Representatives are unbelievably extreme legislation.
Who's obstructionist then, Jeff? Who's obstructionist?
Well, we could all compromise somewhere in the middle, they're unwilling to.
You can't compromise, Jeff, if Harry Reid won't even hear the bill in the Senate and try and pass out something to compromise on. That's not compromise. Not hearing a bill and just refusing to talk is not compromise. That's obstruction. Just
like, well, and the filibuster. We've never seen the use of the filibuster in the last 3 years is more than it's ever been used in the entire 230 years prior to that.
You have not seen the Republicans filibustering because there are no budget bills.
Because they changed the filibuster rule to say that it basically takes 60 votes to pass anything. All they have to do is say we're going to do it. They don't actually have to do it. If they would change the rules and make them actually do the filibuster and stand there and filibuster like the old-fashioned – the movie with Mr. Smith Comes to Washington. That's how the filibuster used to work. And if they made them do that, that would embarrass the Republicans to the point where they would – For the point where they would stop doing it.
It requires 60 votes. It's always required 60 votes.
No, it hasn't, John.
What the Democrats need to do, if they've got such a great deal going, is put a bill out and let's have a discussion, but they won't even put the bill out on the table.
That was John Munger, and we also thank Jeff Rogers. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Family owned and run since 1985. Stop by and say hello to Mo and his family. All your needs taken care of there when it comes to framing. They've got wonderful mirrors, art for your walls, you name it. Mo has it. We will be back with the Buckmaster Show as we approach now 12:30 on this Monday afternoon. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker says he is not thinking about the possibility of a recount as he makes his last campaign stops ahead of tomorrow's recall election. He's just the third U.S. governor to face a recall. The polls show a tight race. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court is turning down Jerry Sandusky's request to delay the start of his trial on child sexual abuse charges. Jury selection scheduled to get underway tomorrow. Family members of American teen Natalie Holloway may have to wait years to see the suspect in her disappearance face trial in the U.S. On Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is down 39 points, the NASDAQ 1 point higher, and the S&P 3 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. And this portion of our program brought to you by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. On this Monday afternoon, we welcome longtime Tucson businessman Rick Grinnell. And Rick has been very involved in this community for, well, I don't know, decades? Is that safe to say?
I kept my teeth on the really being involved in the late 80s, early 90s with the old Tucson Business Coalition.
Yeah, I mean, you've been around, in other words. You have a new group that you and others, some friends, putting together, Southern Arizona Business Coalition, SABC. Tell me a little bit about this.
Well, actually, what it is it's bringing together two like-minded groups, and sort of merging them into one to a very focused concept of business support, focusing on the mining industry, resource industry, and heavy industrial development, and also the F-35s. Bill Ossenmacher, who owns Cade Industries, started last year the Arizona Business Coalition in support of Rosemont Copper and the public hearings, and it evolved and developed into where we have regular mining meeting alliance meetings down here in Southern Arizona. We've sort of collaborate with the other mining organizations throughout the state, and so Southern Arizona has a little bit more of a voice in support of the mining industry, which contributes an enormous amount of resource, financial benefits to the state, and Southern Arizona particularly is very rich in the mining history.
So. Is this a conflict at all with the chambers, Chamber of Commerce?
No, actually, it really isn't. And the reason being is we're not here to get into the solicit the chambers members for the local issues. The chambers focusing on their local issues. We're focusing on Southern Arizona. There is mining in Graham County, Cochise County, Santa Cruz County, Pinal County, and Pinal County. And so I've been traveling a lot around the region meeting. I have also was down in Benson because they have the Southern Arizona Economic Development Group focusing on trying to get the unmanned aerial vehicle with the Army. And they're working with Senator Griffin and some of the House representatives in the Arizona Commerce Commission and Fort Huachuca. So what we want to do is lend the support necessary. And then also really... Rosemont is a very important part of this process, but it's not the only part. And if we can realize the advantages of state-of-the-art mining that Rosemont will bring, the financial impacts, and then the modifications that other mines that are currently working on, ASARCO's working on doing stuff, Freeport's doing things that they can do, the smaller mines, there's another Wildcat Silver down in Nogales region that's doing exploration right now.
Near Patagonia
area. So all the fears of mining need to be just tampered down a little bit with some really reality of what's going on. And so
is that, Rick, the primary focus? Is mining what's driving this Southern Arizona Business Coalition?
Mining is very much the primary a motivator behind putting this all together. And I brought my organization and asking my supporters to help us.
Because you're very much associated with Rosemont.
I have stepped away as a personal contract to take over this opportunity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you have an event coming up.
June 19th, we have a Speak Out for Jobs. And it's very specific in regards to asking Pima County Board of Supervisors and these Tucson City Council, Mayor and Council, to get behind Rosemont, to get behind the F-35s. I'm really sort of amazed that the City Council is opposing, some of the members are really opposing this F-35, which is just this, it just shocks me.
Have they gone on record, the Council, on the F-35 at
they
all?
They have gone on record not to support it.
Not to support it
as far as their public statements and saying, well, we can't really support this right now. Mr. Kozacik is stating he is personally not in support of it. Mr. Wulik and the environmentalist in the neighborhood.
While we have you, Rick Grinnell, I wanted to talk about the Southern Arizona Business Coalition, but as you know, we had I believe you were heard the interview that I did with Mayor Rothschild on the show Friday, and we were talking about Rio Nuevo and the future, and it kind of sounded like the city's actually making preparations for the next step, which would not include the Rio Nuevo District Board
in the future.
I mean, that the legislature, I guess, would dissolve the board during the next session, and then that'd be the end of the district.
Well, first of all, I really believe that the city needs to get out of the way of their own fear. Fear is an unfortunate motivator to do things. And if they would realize that this district board, contrary to some people's statements, part of our charge was to clean up the financial and clarity of where the money is, who owns what, and how it was spent. And we're just about there. The other part was to invest in the TCC and also the Tucson Hotel. Well, the hotel's gone. And as a matter of fact, I personally have motioned three different times to invest more than just $1 million in TCC, but we don't have the clear financial auditing clarity on the budget that we really can say we have it to give. And the other thing is, I think sometimes the election for mayor and council is over.
Yeah.
Okay. And I say that because I think some people, I've been involved for a long time. Just because I lost an election doesn't mean I'm going away. This is still my home. This is still my passion for business, for economic stability.
You're saying there's so much suspicion that the council has toward you and the other board members.
Yeah, and they need to get over it get through it.
So where do we go from here?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I really believe there's three things, and I have some ideas. We have a retreat coming on the 18th. It is a public. It is open to the public.
Where is it?
It's going to be down at the State Building, 400 West Congress.
And this is the Rio Nuevo Board retreat, and
correct.
The public is invited.
It is a public. We will hold. We have one, I believe, executive session issue that we have to do because of legal issues. But other than that, it's all going to be pretty much open to the public.
And what are the three things that could be done in 90 days?
I honestly believe that we can clean up the financials and make sure that we know who owns what, number one. Number two is I believe that we can come to a joint agreement with the city council. Forget all these lawsuits for a minute. We don't want their money. First of all, they don't have it. That's number one, okay? Number two, we just want to maximize the use of the resources available. But I would like to see whatever monies we can. I would like to personally really go back to the TCC and see what we can do to help with capital improvement. Under the law, we can't handle maintenance, but we can do capital improvement structures. I would
clean up the financials, TCC, what's the third item?
And the third item is to really make some joint decisions, not just sort of a unilateral decision on the arena parcel between the city and the district. And I really believe that we can get those three things done because I come from a school of you focus on what you can accomplish, all of a sudden the barriers become smaller. Mm-hmm. This isn't about me. It's not about the board members. This is about what's best for Tucson. And we do have a financial and a legal responsibility to the finances on this issue. And I'm not going to subrogate that to appease people just to get along. I mean, and it sounds good that we need to get along. Great. Let's all be accountable. Let's be responsible. And let's do whatever we have to do to do right by the citizens. Because at the end of the day, neither the district or the board or the city are victims here. The only victims in this whole issue are the taxpayers. And these are the people that we need to both, two bodies need to represent their best interest, and we need to all be forthcoming and accept responsibility for our behaviors.
Rick Grinnell is with us on the Buckmaster Show, board member of the Tucson or the Rio Nuevo District Governing Board, and he's also the vice president of the Southern Arizona Business Coalition. Rick, let me ask you then, the mediation with the city is over. Was that a big deal?
I think it was actually a blessing in disguise.
Why is that? Why do you
well,
think
because
that?
The other thing is sometimes we don't change until it hurts bad enough. and I think all of a sudden the reality is, because here's what the state will do. If they do, and I don't want them to do this, if they come in and say, you know, we're done.
And that could happen.
That could happen. Guess who owns all that property that the district did?
Who?
It's not the city. It's the state. Those are state taxpayer dollars that bought and paid for all those improvements.
So
and
the
all
state would take over that?
They would own all that land by law. That's their money. It's state taxpayer money. So the city needs to be careful what it asks for because it might get it. And that's too bad because, I think we set aside our egos. We set aside personalities. This isn't about the election's over. Let's move on. And I really... And hearing the mayor the other day, I was rather concerned by his, I don't know, maybe sort of passive reflection on what we should be doing with Rio Nuevo. And I think this is the time to put the metal to the pedal, not back off and wait for something to happen.
But the suspicion of you and your board members.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry, but, you know, I grew up in these. Literally, I know this city of Tucson. I know it well. And I'm not going to change my principles and my beliefs in Tucson just because somebody may not like me or may not agree with me politically. And that, you know, the irony is most people, when you see people in public, it's very cordial, very reflective, and a lot of us, in fact, I had dinner the other night, it was at Boys and Girls Club with Supervisor Valadez.
And oh, for the steak and burger event. Yeah, we were promoting that event here on my show. You were at that event on Saturday.
And Ramon and I were at the same table, and we were just you know what? Guess what? We disagree on politics. God bless us. But at the end of the day,
but both of you believe in our community.
We do.
That's the most important thing.
And I think
that's
what we need to go back to and remember. When it becomes about me instead of we, I have failed and we lost.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up with Rick Grinnell. Your event for the Southern Arizona Business Coalition
is Speak Out for Jobs, June 19th. El Presidio Park, and parking will be at the Hotel Tucson at the corner of St. Mary's and I-10.
Okay, Rick Grinnell, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Bill,
thanks
as always.
We'll be talking with Karen Ulick, Tucson City Councilwoman. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
It's 12:48 on the Buckmaster Show as we begin our second year with this program today on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This portion of the program made possible by our friends at Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. Adobe House Antiques, located in that wonderful Josias Josler design building from the late 1940s that they have restored beautifully at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. Karen Ulick, Tucson City Councilwoman, joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Councilwoman, how are you this Monday afternoon?
I'm well, Bill. Thanks.
It's good to hear from you, and I want to begin with the situation surrounding Tucson, your colleague, Tucson Councilman Paul Cunningham. He's apologized for the inappropriate sexual comments to three female city workers during a recent economic development trip to San Diego. He's admitted he has a drinking problem. He's vowing to get help. You initially said, I believe, that he should consider resigning. Do you still believe that, Councilwoman?
I had a very frank conversation with Paul, and, we talked about the implications of the situation for not only his work, but the other city employees moving forward, and I did say yes, that I thought that that's one alternative that he ought to give some thought to. Bill, I want to be clear that obviously I care about Paul, but it's my job and his and the full mayor and council to not to protect Paul or even Triel for that matter, but really to protect the public's best interest in our service and also our city employees. And like it or not, that has to be my priority if I'm going to do my job well.
So this is going to be investigated now by the city attorney. Will there be any discussion of this at the council meeting on the agenda for tomorrow?
Not this situation specifically or the investigation. We need to protect the integrity of that and not interfere with that in any way at all. We do need to look, Bill, more broadly at moving forward. How any misconduct of a serious nature on the part of any mayor and council member is currently addressed in either state statute, the charter, ordinances, and whether there are any holes in that need to be addressed. I think that, no employee is going to step forward, for example, and file any kind of complaint if they know that the process is leads directly to a dead end. And so that layer of accountability, if it's too weak, needs to be looked at. And so we're going to start the broad conversation about what is there currently that holds us accountable to our constituents and employees. And then next week, we'll talk more about any specific options for strengthening provisions for the future of Tucson, really.
Yeah, the mayor was on our program on Friday talking with us about the current statute, I guess the current law in this area, and there was something like a $50 fine.
Yeah.
So there may be some updating is what I'm hearing from you and from
exactly.
the mayor. That
exactly.
needs to be done. Yeah,
exactly.
I want to move on to, we just had Rick Grinnell with me in studio from the Rio Nuevo Board, and we were talking a little bit with the mayor as well on Friday about, where do we go from here with this whole situation with the Rio Nuevo District? It could go back to the legislature. They could, in fact, dissolve the whole district. That would cost the city, I think the mayor said it would be something like $10 to $12 million the city would lose. But where do you see this going from here?
Well, I don't know that there's any option but to try to move forward on improving the convention center. It's very unfortunate that, the board has levied some lawsuits against Tucson taxpayers that we believe will be dismissed over time. That's going to cost a lot of time and energy and money, unfortunately. So it would, my ideal would, of course, be for them to pull back on expensive litigation and get back on focus, because there is absolutely progress that can be made on behalf of the public And in particular, continuing infrastructure improvements and improvements in the convention center.
Will those improvements go? Do you see them being made at the Tucson Convention Center, say, within the next year?
Well, I certainly hope that the two elements that we had agreed upon previously, and the bleachers and the restroom improvements, that was really a positive sign that we could, you know, get specific and agree upon some investments. I certainly hope that that will proceed aside and apart from any of the other, you know, controversy and conflict that seems to be looming.
Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick is with us on the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon. I believe the budget is finalized. Is that tomorrow, Councilwoman?
It is slated for tomorrow. That's correct.
Tell me about this spending package.
Well, I think some of the key areas that we've really focused on in response to public input is the manager's recommendation was $2 million for road repairs. All of us on the mayor and council felt we really need to be far more aggressive, and so we are looking to restructuring some debt that we have in order to free up $20 million for the coming year to immediately invest in road improvements. In addition, we're offering a very modest 1% cost of living increase for employees who have essentially experienced a 3% cut to their wages and increasing health costs and pension costs and things like that. So a very, very modest step to try and acknowledge that they've shared in the sacrifices needed to balance our budget over the past few years. So those are some of the key highlights moving forward. And even in this year's budget, we just really have come into extremely sharp focus on the core functions of the city. So beyond streets, transit, and transportation improvements, parks and recreation, and public safety. Those are really the centerpieces of the city's responsibility to the public.
Will there be a discussion about a bond election, perhaps, for roads?
Yes, I have suggested that it is a question that voters ultimately would answer at the ballot box. One, because the price tag is high and we haven't had our state funding fully restored, we will be asking the public whether a specific bond would be supported for specifically, again, for street repairs, which is a critical concern.
Karen Ulick is with us, Tucson City Councilwoman. Let's go to Cynthia. Cynthia has a question for the Councilwoman on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to give my opinion that I think the tax money could have been better spent rather than giving raises to city employees who've been employed throughout the recession. It would have been better spent to hire a few new people who have no jobs.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for the comment. Any comment from you, Councilwoman?
It's been such a difficult balance, and we have shrunk the city government's workforce by 1,000 positions, from roughly 6,000 now to 5,000, lowest level since the mid-90s. And I think that what we're trying to do is look to ways that without spending city dollars outright, we can do a much better job of economic development and growing smaller businesses that really fuel the economy through different programs that we're looking at. So I certainly appreciate that sentiment of the need for jobs in this community.
There will be a water rate increase, I understand, July 2nd. This will be actually something a bit around 8%, I believe.
You know, it does overall lead to an 8% increase in revenues for the water department. The average customer using 1 to 10 cubic CCFs, cubic feet, I guess that would be, but the average user will actually see their usage bill go down slightly. Keep hearing things to respect the fact that low users should pay less and conservers should pay less.
Having a little bit of breakup there from Councilwoman Ulick. I don't know if we have lost her. I think we might have lost her. We are talking with Councilwoman Karen Ulick. We've been talking about the situation with Paul Cunningham, and we're talking about the city budget and talking about Rio Nuevo as we come to the closing few moments of the Buckmaster Show, and I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get her back, but we do want to talk about tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. We have State Senator Frank Antonori will be with us, and we have Mark Stegeman, who is the TUSD board president. And we will have Margaret Regan from the Tucson Weekly, and she will be joining us to talk. She, of course, is the arts editor, and then we will be talking about what's coming up on the arts. And Shelley Fishman will be joining us for the Tuesday Moneymaker Report on the Buckmaster Show as we launch our second year here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we have had a great first year, and we're looking forward to another year as well. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Our thanks to Jeff Munger and John Munger and Jeff Rogers for our Monday political face-off. Rick Grinnell was with us, and our thanks to Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick. We'll do it again tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.